الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. I ask Allah to grant us all the sincere intentions. Yesterday we talked about the attribute of al-kalam, the speech of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Let us continue from where we stopped. The author said, summing up what has been mentioned before, it is affirmed that Allah Ta'ala has 13 attributes which were mentioned repeatedly in the Quran, either explicitly or implicitly. These are existence, oneness, eternity, everlastingness, non-needness of others, power, will, knowledge, hearing, sight, life, speech, and non-resemblance to the creation. Those attributes, we already talked about them. But let us go over them briefly. Every accountable Muslim has to know those 13 attributes. It's not meant to memorize the terms, oneness, power, etc. Rather, one has to know them. Anyone who denies one of these 13 attributes blasphemes, even if he is a new Muslim. Because by denying any of them, this means that he does not have the proper belief in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If he does not belie any of them, deny any of them, but he does not know about one of them. He never heard about it. It did not occur to his mind. In this case, one is not judged as a blasphemer for that. But one is sinful. Because he did not put enough effort to learn what Allah made it an obligation upon him to learn. An example, if someone doesn't know about the attribute of hearing of Allah, this person did not deny that attribute. Rather, it did not occur to his mind at all because he did not learn. He never learned about it. In this case, one is not considered a blasphemer because of that. It is a consensus among the scholars that every accountable Muslim has to know them. One of those 13 attributes is existence. It is called nafsiyya because one might say because the reality of Allah is not conceived without this attribute, conceived. Well, you think about a better statement, inshallah. The existence of Allah is not like ours, as we already explained. Allah exists without a beginning, without an end, without a place, and without time. There are four other attributes that are called in Arabic salbiyya, referring to the term salb, which means to negate, because those attributes show that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is clear of imperfection. is clear of what does not befit him. One of those attributes is eternity, because it means not to have a beginning. Denying attributing Allah with a beginning. And as we said before, Allah is the only one attributed with this attribute. One of those attributes is oneness, which means Allah is one without a partner, which means Allah does not have a partner, so nothing is similar to Allah in His self, doings, and attributes. The textual proof for this attribute is mentioned in Surah Al-Anbiya. Allah said, لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَفَسَدَتَا, which means, had the sky and the earth have gods other than Allah, then they would not exist. Let us explain more the verse. If it was possible for more than one God to exist, then it would be possible for one of them to will the existence of something at a certain point of time, and for the other to will its non-existence at that same point of time. Both of their wills cannot be fulfilled, because the thing cannot be existing and non-existing at the same time. Also, or on another hand, if both of their wills are not fulfilled, then they are both weak. And again, it leads to impossibility, because it means for that thing to exist and not exist at the same time, which is also impossible. And it is impossible, and if the will of one of them is fulfilled and the other is not, then the one whom his will is not fulfilled is not God, because he is weak. So as we can see, saying that there are more than one God leads to intellectual impossibility. And whatever leads to intellectual impossibility is itself impossible, intellectually impossible. This proof is known to the Muslim scholars with the name of the proof of tamanu'. Tamanu' means when you have two things, everyone makes the other invalid. This is what a tamanu' means. You see how dangerous the statement of Mu'tazila is by them saying that the slave creates his deeds. It leads to negate the oneness of Allah. That's why some scholars said they are worse than the fire worshippers. The Magus said that Allah has one partner. Mu'tazila said that Allah has many partners. We mentioned the oneness and the eternity. Among those attributes is non-needness to others. Everything is in need to Allah in every moment, with no exception. Tahawi said, the one who claims that he is not in need to Allah for a blink of eye is a blasphemer. The fourth one among those attributes is the non-resemblance to the creation. That is, Allah does not resemble any of His creation. Just as Allah said in Al-Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, which means nothing resembles Allah Ta'ala by any mean. We mentioned up till now five attributes. والنفسية four سلبية. What's left of the 13 attributes are 8. Those 8 attributes are called the attributes of al-ma'ani. In Arabic they say al-ma'ani. Because every one of them can be seen if Allah willed for the slave to see them or to see it. One of them is everlastingness, which means for Allah to exist without His existence coming to an end. As Allah said in Surah Ar-Rahman, وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. This verse means that Allah's existence is without an end. The term wajh mentioned in this verse does not refer to an attribute. Rather, it means the self of Allah. In the Arabic language, wajh can mean self. And here it has to be interpreted by that. It is not valid to interpret al-wajh in this verse by saying it is an attribute of Allah. It is invalid. Because after that in the verse there is the term Dhul Jalali wal Ikram, and which is attributed to al-wajh. And this is an attribute of Allah. So al-wajh has to be interpreted by the self of Allah. I'll tell you about something very ugly to which the creed of likening Allah to the creation lead. In the past, during the time of as-salaf, there was an Arab person called Bayan ibn Sim'an, the son of Sim'an. Bayan said, Allah exists, so Allah is called in Arabic Shay, which is correct. Up till here, it is correct. He said, also the universe exists. It is called Shay in Arabic, which is correct. In Arabic, Shay includes what exists. This man likened Allah to the creation. So he said, Allah is called Shay in Arabic. The world is called Shay. Allah said in Al-Quran, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ. He interpreted it by saying, then everything vanishes on the day of judgment, including Allah, except Allah's face. He interpreted wajh in this verse to mean the face, the organ that the people have, the animals have, etc., the jinn have. He thought that Allah is like the human being, has a face attached to a body. So he interpreted this verse that Allah vanished just like the world vanished except for Allah's face, a part of him, which is the face. Look how ugly this is. And why did he say that? Because of his ill creed, because he likens Allah to the creation. Now the true meaning of this verse, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ, the true meaning of wajh in this verse is as-sultan, the dominion, which means the dominion of Allah does not vanish. This is an attribute of Allah. Regardless to what happened to the earth and the sky on the day of judgment, the dominion of Allah does not vanish. because this is an attribute of Allah. This is how Al-Bukhari interpreted this verse. He mentioned that in his book Al-Sahih. He mentioned this interpretation in his book Al-Sahih. Some people sometimes they question, let me take it an opportunity to mention something. Some people sometimes they question, why do we warn against those who like it? Why, if you noticed yesterday we talked a lot, we warned, I warned a lot against the Wahhabis and the Mu'tazila. Some people they question why to do that. Well, if you do not warn against what's wrong, then against what do you warn? And it's not any mistake. It is a mistake pertaining to the belief, to the basics of belief. If you do not warn against blasphemy, then against what do you warn? If you don't make it clear that those people are blasphemers, then some Muslims might get an ill creed. They might think they are Muslims also. And then they would be in danger. The Mu'tazila say about Ahl Sunnah that they are donkeys. Yes? This is what they say about us. Zamakhshari, one of the leaders, he said that Ahl Sunnah are donkeys. Donkeys with this thing that they put on top of the donkey to ride it. Yeah, like the saddle. So if they say this about us, we who have the correct creed, do we keep silent and we do not warn against them? It doesn't make sense. It does not make sense. Subhanallah. They claim that Ahl Sunnah are blasphemers. So, all the Muslims around the world for them are blasphemers. Do we keep silent? Likewise the Wahhabis. Some people they say this is time to have unity among Muslims. We love that unity exists among Muslims. But I unite myself to someone who consider me a Muslim, not to someone who consider me a blasphemer and wants to shed my blood and take my belongings. The Wahhabis, this is what they believe. They consider shedding our blood, taking our money is lawful. 70 years ago they attacked Jordan before the oil appeared in their lands. And they killed the people, everyone they met. 3,500 Muslims were killed by them, slaughtered by them. Until two tribes among the tribes of Jordan stopped them and defeated them. Two tribes defeated them. Two old people among the people of Jordan, they were little children at the time. They said that the Wahhabi would take the Sunnis, Jordanian, put him on the ground and slaughter him like a sheep. And says before doing that, Bismillah, kafir about the Jordanian. This is a kafir, an enemy of Allah. Those are the Wahhabis. Hadn't them been a little fraction, they would have fight us and kill us. So how do we unify with them? What does that mean? This is their target. How do we unify with them? To help them? To accomplish their target? Allah yarhamuna. What I mentioned about Jordan is a well-known documented some event in the newspapers of that time. It is mentioned in other documents that exist up till nowadays in the Jordanian libraries. Ya Latif. Let's go back to what we were mentioning. Another attribute among the attributes of Al-Ma'ani is the power, which means Allah has the power over everything. And as we said, the power of Allah is related to what is intellectually possible, not to what is intellectually impossible or necessary. Another attribute is the will. The definition of the will is the attribute with which Allah specifies the intellectually possible with one attribute instead of another and one time instead of another. An example is that the wall, mentally, it is possible for it to be white, red, green, black, etc. Or black, etc. Now, if it is white, this is because Allah willed for it, specified it with His will to be white. One of the textual proof of this attribute is the saying of Allah, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ, which is in Surah At-Takwir, and it means, you only will what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala willed for you. You do not will for something except if Allah willed that for you. Among those attributes is the knowledge, which means that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows everything with His eternal knowledge. As Allah said in Surah At-Talaq, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا, which means Allah knows everything. One of those attributes is hearing, which means that Allah hears all the hearable things with His eternal hearing that does not resemble ours. Another attribute is the sight. Allah sees all the seeable matters with His eternal sight that does not resemble ours, without the need of a pupil or an eye. Among them is the life. Allah is attributed with life, and this life does not resemble ours. It's not a combination of body and soul. It is an eternal attribute that befits Him. Because Allah is attributed with life, this entails the validity of attributing Allah Ta'ala with knowledge, power, and will. The last one, the eighth one among the attributes of Al-Ma'ani, is the attribute of Al-Kalam. Allah speaks with a speech that does not resemble ours. It is without a beginning, without an end, without parts, without sounds, and without letters. As you notice, we mentioned al-baqa, everlastingness, among the attributes of al-ma'ani. This is what al-imam Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari said. Some Ash'ari scholars mentioned or chose to say that everlastingness is among the attributes which are salbiyya, called salbiyya. Both are among Ahl Sunnah. It's not a big deal, this difference in opinions. What has more weight is the saying of al-Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, of course. Those 13 attributes are called attributes of the self of Allah. Every accountable person has to know them. It is not permissible to attribute Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala with its counter or opposite. So it is not permissible to attribute Allah with the opposite of speech, which is muteness, opposite of sight, which is blindness, opposite of power, which is powerlessness, etc. As for the attributes which is permissible to attribute them to Allah and to attribute the, how do you say it in English? Opposites? Does it work? Well, you search for the word. Like al-is'ad and al-ishqa, making one sa'id with good ending, and al-ishqa making one with bad endings. What do you think about the word? Like making one alive and making one dead, etc. Those attributes are called sifatul fi'l, attributes of doings. The author said, since these attributes were mentioned many times in the Quran and Hadith, the scholars said that knowing them is a personal obligation. To clarify this matter, we say that those attributes are mentioned a lot in the Quran and the Hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The scholars deduced from that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was keen to let everyone hear about them, whether by mentioning the verses of Quran or by him talking about them. This is why the scholars said it is an obligation upon every accountable person to know them. Many scholars mentioned this issue. Imam Abu Hanifa in his book Al-Fiqh Al-Akbar mentioned that one has to know those attributes. Likewise, An-Nawawi in his book Al-Maqasid mentioned that. Likewise, As-Sanusi in his famous book in Aqidah mentioned that. Abdul Majid Ash-Shurnubi, who is among the later Maliki scholars, mentioned that. Many other scholars mentioned that. This is why it is important to teach the little child after the child becomes mumayyiz, of course, at the age of mental discrimination. It is important to teach the children those attributes with a brief explanation about each one. The little child is like an empty container. And the empty container, whatever you put in it, it accepts. You can fill it with whatever you want. Even with urine, you can. So, one shouldn't leave the little Muslim children neglected without teaching them the proper belief. Because there is a big danger that someone might teach them a bad belief and they would accept. Why not? If they don't know the proper belief. Many people, they take care about affording or about feeding their children, bringing clothes to them, a shelter, etc. And they do not take care of teaching them, especially the proper belief. Also, if someone has a cow, he takes care of feeding it, bringing water for it, affording a shelter for it. One shouldn't treat his child like one treats his cow. Nowadays, among the youth who are born from Muslim parents, some are attracted by the deviant Wahhabis, some are attracted by the deviant Hizbul Ikhwan, some are attracted by the deviant Hizbul Tahrir. And why did that happen? Because their parents did not take care of them. They did not teach them. Or they did not take them to someone to teach them the proper belief. Had that been done, they wouldn't have attracted by those deviant extremists. The author said, since eternity is confirmed to the self of Allah, then his attributes are eternal, because a created attribute entails that the attributed self is created. The explanation, the self of Allah is eternal without a beginning, and the attributes of Allah are eternal without a beginning. Had Allah been attributed with any created attribute, then His self would have been created. Because if Allah is attributed with a created attribute, then He would be subject of change, subject to change. And anything that changes is created and is not God. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa said, if anyone says that the attributes of Allah exist after non-existence, or that they are created, or doubts about that, or stops about it, then he is a blasphemer. He means by that anyone who says that Allah is attributed with an attribute, that any attribute among the attributes of the self of Allah is created, exists after non-existence, is a blasphemer. Likewise, if one doubts about that, and similarly, if one says, I stop, I don't believe that they are eternal, and I don't believe that they are created, I stop. He said, also this one is a blasphemer. One has to be firm that the self of Allah cannot be attributed with a created attribute. Let us stop here. Allah knows best. If you are saying that's the case, why are you asking me? No. If you are saying this is the case, why are you asking me? Go ahead. Let me review it. I mentioned yesterday, if you remember, at one area that Abu Hanifa mentioned so and so in his book Al-Fiqh Al-Akbar, and Abdul Rahim yesterday said he remembers that it is in his book Al-Wasiyya. It turned out that he was correct. So it is in Al-Wasiyya, so please correct it. Which statement? About the statement when we said that Abu Hanifa said, had Allah been in need for Al-Arsh to be established on it, then before creating Al-Arsh, where was he? This statement is mentioned in his book Al-Wasiyya, not in Al-Fiqh Al-Akbar. So please correct it in your notes. Faddal Ali, na'am. Don't go through that. Don't go through that. Naam Bahadin.
In the statement?
Yes. When I said to stop, the one who stops, I mean the one who does not want to take any side. We speak with letters and with sounds, and each sound is a part of our speech. Allah's speech is not like that. It is not permissible to attribute a sawt to Allah. A sawt literally means voice, sound. Even if someone does not understand from that letters, etc., even if one says not like the other sounds, because it is not permissible to attribute to Allah a name or an attribute, except if this is confirmed by a Quranic verse, a confirmed hadith of the Prophet, without any difference in opinions about it, or consensus of the nation. With other than that, it is not permissible to attribute neither a name nor an attribute to Allah Ta'ala. And there is no mentioning of the sound in the Quran. الصوت is not mentioned in the Quran. And in the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, الصوت is not attributed to Allah in any صحيح hadith. البيهقي, الحافظ البيهقي said, every hadith that attributed الصوت to Allah تعالى is not confirmed. Likewise, الحافظ أبو المكارم authored a book pertaining this issue, in which he discussed every hadith attributing الصوت to Allah, and clearly and made it clear that this hadith is not reliable. So in brief, it is not permissible to say Allah is attributed with الصوت, even if with his voice, that is, even if one says not like our other voices, it's not permissible. خلونا نوقف الأسئلة حتى نرجع. Let us stop here for now, so we can start again at 12. الله يبارك فيكم. So you can take a little rest. بارك الله بكم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. بارك الله فيكم.